welcome to this God-inspired message from Shofar Christian Church. We trust that you will enjoy today's message and that it will encourage you to grow deeper in your relationship with Christ our Savior.
Amen. What is your life? Is the question I'm asking today. What is your life? What's the type of answer you're giving? What are you guys thinking? Let's hear some answers. Anyone? You can just, yes. Good. What is your life? Good. Okay, another answer? Another response? Yes. A work in progress. Okay, let's take one more. Busy. Okay. John Piper said, life is short, eternity is long, live like it. Life on this earth is short, eternity is long, do we live like it? I just came back from Polokwane, and you know, in the last 3 weeks, three children died in the schools there. Two from car accidents, one from suicide. Sudden events happening. You can just imagine families being just devastated, being ripped inside, outside. Because how do you deal with the death of your child? And even more so, an unexpected, sudden one. And life was taken away from those families, from those kids in an instant. Melody, for those of you who know her, a week and a half back, she was working in Mamelodi. Four armed men attacked her, trying to abduct her, push her into a car. So, you can wake up today thinking that, you know, today is just going to be another day. Today is just going to be hectic. It's going to be busy. It's going to be good. It's going to be a work in progress. But none of us can with a surety even say, God, I have another breath left. And when we hear about stories like this, like we hear every day, especially, I don't read the newspaper, but if you do, you know, we read about death and rape and murder every single day, countless times. And I'm sure all of us sitting here even experience death and attack or hurt in our families. But when it hits close to home, it stirs you. It just abrupts whatever the stability it is we think we have inside. But then something unexpected or sudden happens in our lives, close to us, not even to ourselves, because that is much worse. And we are just put off balance, if you can put it like that. We are put out of routine. We are full of questions and doubts all of a sudden of, yes, God, are you really good? God, what is your purpose? What is my purpose? What is life? What is my life? God, what do you want me to do? Because I can't guarantee that I will even walk out after this service. None of us can. Without warning, there can be a complete change to all of our lives sitting here today and standing. Without warning, everything can change and come to an end or put on a different path. And you know, the truth is, all of us here, we will live for eternity. Since the day we've been born, we are destined to live for eternity. Us and God, you know, we're going to stick it to the end in the same universe. Some in a good place, some in a bad place, but nonetheless, we will live eternally. And does eternity start when we give our last breath? No, eternity has started the day we were born. But how we live this life affects to where we will spend most of our time as a being in the spectrum of eternity. All of us will exist forever. We can live our lives in working for a better future in this life. We can build up riches. We can build up fame. We can build up a name for ourselves. We can build our own kingdom in a sense of a company, which is, you know, it's not bad. It's really not bad, but We can get so busy in building something for ourselves or our families that we just miss God in the whole process. We miss His kingdom in trying to build our kingdoms. And that is really just nullifying the point of our existence on earth. We are not here to make money. We are not here to be parents. We are not here to be husbands or wives. We are here for purpose God has called us for. Then all those things come secondary, which are great. But if we miss God, where will we spend our eternity? God has given us all a set amount of time on earth, and He calls us to use it wisely. Scripture says that as servants of Christ, we should be good stewards of what God has given us. God has given us a set amount of time, and it's our responsibility to be good stewards of the time God has given us. I want us to read together out of Ephesians from chapter 5, verse 15. Look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of the time, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Okay, so God says days are evil as we all know it, but He has given us time, He has given us a life to walk in two ways, whether wisely or unwisely. How do we walk this life as wise men and women? It is only possible through knowing what the will of the Lord is. Okay, so this will lead us immediately to the next question. Okay, but what is the will of the Lord? What is the will of the Lord for your life, for our lives, for my life? How do we make the best time of what we have been given on this life? God's will for all of us is so in complete unity with His divine order. And if you don't know what God's divine order is, it is saying that it is God first. Seek first the kingdom of God and all its righteousness, then the rest will be added onto you. So above everything, God is first. He should be our first desire, our first person, or God we pursue in what we do. When we wake up, the first word should be God or Jesus. It should be everything that we are. Then second is family. It is your wife, it is your husband. Thirdly, it is your children. Fourthly, it is your ministry, what you do. And then after is all the other stuff that you do. That's called God's divine order, the order of how things should be. And if God is placed at number two or number three, you know, it's chaos. Because then either your wife or your husband is your God. So God's divine order and God's will, they're in complete unity with one another. It's in complete unity with God's will in order for us to live our lives wisely. Yes, God has a separate calling and destiny for what He has for each and every one of us as individuals. But collectively, there is the will of God in which He wants for us. And I trust that the Holy Spirit today will show us and reveal to us what that will is. So that if we are sitting there and you're not able to answer me right away of what is God's will, that today that we'll walk out knowing that. Because how can we aim to achieve something without knowing what it is? Do you agree with me today? If I have to look at my life, I attended church since I was small, really good, but only going there to sleep on my mother's lap, just thinking it was the most boring thing, the hardest seats ever. But praise God, when I was 15 years old, I had an encounter with God's presence, His manifest presence. And the Holy Spirit came and He started to teach me a lot of things, which made Christianity actually really cool and alive to me. So I got saved when I was 15 years old, being baptized and receiving my calling from God at the age of 16. But before then and after then, there's one thing that if someone had to ask me, what do you regret in life, is lost time. We can lose money, we can give it away, we can get it back. But time is something we will never, ever get back. And I'm sure that all of you would agree with me today that we regret of time lost, time spent unwisely in our lives before knowing God, and especially that time wasted after having an encounter with God. Because I believe I messed up the most in my life after receiving my calling, after being filled with the Holy Spirit, after being baptized and all those things. Man, did I mess up. But all glory to God is He led me to a place where I was begging for death for about 3 months in a hospital bed. Jesus stood next to me. He gave me my health back. 3 days later, I'm on the way of recovery. And you know, since then, it's really just been such a place of growing more intimately with God every single day. Do I still mess up? This weekend, I messed up. I mean, my thoughts are filthy. It's wrong. My heart is so deceitful above all things. So I'm still in this process of working on my salvation with the one thing I'm also struggling with, fear and trembling, fearing God. But I'm in a much better place than what I was 10 years ago, being saved. But we would all agree that we are so sorry and so just angry, some of us, at times lost in our lives. And I want us to read together out of James 4 from verse 13. Come now, you who say, today or tomorrow we will go into such and such a town and spend a year there and trade and make a profit. Yet you do not know what tomorrow will bring. What is your life? For you are a mist that appears for a little time and then vanishes. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we will live and do this or that. So what is your life? It is but mist, appearing for a little time and then vanishes. It is like 2 seconds is your life. So what we do with those 2 seconds, what we do with a glimpse of a breath, of a vapor, what we have been given in the spectrum of eternity, that it's really important with what we do. Of course, collectively put all those things together, what the church can do, and that steers the route of so many eternal destinations of so many people. And if we had to, now we need to take out our imaginations for a while. If we had to take our lives on earth already spent and we can just gauge where we are at the moment and plot out this line of how we've walked since being born, since being saved, all the way till today, and we can sort of envision this, the way we've walked and the trials and the tribulations and the joyous times and the great times and times sort of love. And if we had this transparent sheet that the teachers used to have with those old, I don't even remember what you call it, things, and place that over your life, with a cokey being drawn in, as the teachers do, of Jesus' perfect will for our life, and we had to place that over it, how will that align to what's underneath to it? I'm sure that there will be some spaces where we're like, yes. There we only see one line. But I believe that some of us here, that there will be, we'll see 2 lines there. Are there supposed to be 2 lines? No, the answer is no. But as we will truly die, we will be living with Christ in us. So there's only supposed to be 1 set of footprints. If we had to receive in heaven one day this chart of our lives, that would be quite cool, seeing only 1 line of life. But God's will is for us to truly be in line with His step, with His plans, with His purposes. And yes, we do repent, we do move on, but there's still 2 lines there. And I believe and I hope and I trust that we are in this process of creating 1 line, but I truly hope and trust and believe that as we go out here today, we'll truly know what God's will is and then be in step with that, allowing God to carry us wherever He is walking. Romans 12 from verse 1 says, I appeal to you therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good, acceptable, and perfect. So God is a good, acceptable, and perfect will. We all attain for God's perfect will, which is the most difficult one to attain to, yeah, for obvious reasons. But how do we do it? Is by becoming living sacrifices. How do you become 1 line on this chart? Is by sacrificing who you are. That means laying down your dreams, your desires, everything that you want to attain one day. Like, I want to have this company, Christu Incorporated, you know, doing all those things, being a billionaire. laying that down, it's not really my dream, but laying that down and saying, God, above that, it's not bad to have dreams. God gives us the desires of our hearts. He really does, but it should be out of a place of it being on the altar as a sacrifice towards God. And what is on the altar right next to it is ourselves. Because as we live sacrificially to God, that is when He truly fills us with His presence and with His will and His perfect will for our lives. No decision we make comes to a surprise to God. But His heart is that we walk in the fullness of what He has prepared for us. We need to be watchful of how we live daily. And read about this in Luke chapter 21 from verse 34. But watch yourselves, lest your hearts be weighed down with dissipation and drunkenness and cares of this life, and that day come upon you suddenly like a trap, for it will come upon all who dwell on the face of the earth. But stay awake at all times, praying that you have strength to escape all things that are going to take place and to stand before the Son of Man. So all of us that has lived on the face of the earth, we are all being tempted. We are all, in a sense, dodging the traps laid out for us. How do we miss them? How do we come watchful of it? It's got to stay awake. Be awake. Pray. Does it mean we should not sleep? No. There should be a spiritual awakening in us, seeking God at all times, even in our sleeps. We seek God for what He is doing and where He is. I pray every evening, and unfortunately it's not like happening with 100% success rate at this stage. I'm praying, God, just give me dreams. Just come talk to me, Lord, while I sleep. Lord, teleport me while I sleep, God. I want to be used. I want to preach the gospel where I go in my sleep. And you know what? That has happened to me once at least. Being teleported, preaching to people. You do walk the next day as if you had no sleep, yes. But, oh man, may that all happen to you as well in the name of Jesus. But even while we physically sleep, you know, God wants to minister to us. He wants to use us. Because just as so God can minister to us, just so the devil can minister to us. So if we are not watchful and in prayer, making decision of what we do, you know, we will fall in a trap. It is laid out for all of those on the face of the earth. You agree with me today? So we need to constantly, in a sense, be heaven-minded, looking out to, yes, Jesus, where are you? Lord, when are you coming? Because Jesus said He's going to come and He's going to find people asleep, not knowing the hour, the day, and He will appear and have come and gone, and people would have missed Him because they were asleep. May in the name of Jesus that not be one of us here today, but we will be watchful, we will be awake of His coming, but not only of that, but of what He is doing daily in our lives. That we will not waste or allow opportunities to give away and lose our time, our money, our resources, our energy. Because whatever we give our resources, our energy, our time, our money to is whatever we choose to give it to. You know, and there's weekly... If I think back, actually every evening when I get into bed, I run through everything that happened today. And most of the days I'm like, yes, Lord, I've just wasted like 2-3 hours here. Like, what a waste. I just zone out or I just spend it on Facebook. I'm just like, yes, Lord, what a complete waste of time. And my heart is to truly, you know, after a week be, Lord, there's no time wasted. I use every single hour, every minute you've given me in being awake to your purpose, to your will and what you want me to do in this day, in this week, in this month, in this year, in this life that is but a vapor. Spiritually, God requires us to stay awake and attent of what He's doing. To follow Christ does require the sacrifice of our lives. In doing this, not meaning it will always be easy, though. We all know that Jesus, as He promises blessings and life and love, He promises persecution and trials and tribulations. So just as it will be easy, it will be hard as well. But I believe there are some of us here today, we are just, like, we are starting to think about December holidays. We're like, oh, the beach or the mountain or the Karoo or whatever it is we will be going to. We're focusing on that. That's like, zzz. Lord, let this 2.5 months, whatever, let it just pass, like 2 days, let it pass so I can be there so that I can do nothing. So we are tired. We are weary. We have become burdened by our daily things, our work, our studies, our walk that God has called us to. But God has not called us to wish the next 2.5 months away so that we can go and do nothing on the beach or in the bush. No, it's really not God's will. Because if we will do that just as the rest of the world is doing it, you know, what will happen to the people that God has laid out for us to meet and to encounter over these 2 months? So in a sense, what does this mean? It means we should not now fall asleep to the things of God, but be so much more awake, because it is in these times where God truly wants to walk, when there's a spiritual heaviness, this burden on people. That is then when the church really needs to rise up and take up Christ. Because through the Holy Spirit, you know, we are not supposed to grow weary, we're not supposed to grow tired. Can the Holy Spirit be, what's the word we use? Burned out? No. No, the Holy Spirit cannot be burned out. Many of us say, yes, I'm being burned out now. Now what if you're filled with the Holy Spirit? We will not burn out. Yes, there's an element of where we spend unnecessary time, and that can add up. Yes. As a church, we do not want people to burn out by putting on them to do all this unnecessary stuff. But as you walk in the purpose and the calling God has laid out for you, there's no way you will ever be burned out, because you are filled with the Holy Spirit, who is Jesus, who is God, who created all things, who's the breath of life in eternity. So when we are filled with the Holy Spirit, you know, He takes up our identity. So that is why and when we go, we do get rejected. None of us love rejection. I got rejected so much this weekend. But you know what? It is not us that people rejected. It's Christ in us. As we get filled with the identity of Christ, we should not be like, yes, Lord, like what is happening, but we should really live in this place of taking up the identity of cross, not allowing what any person say or think about you to be able to influence. Let's come back to this balance thing we have inside, to throw us off that thing, so we will go on an emotional roller coaster, be depressed for 2 weeks, and then be offended for 4 weeks afterwards, and then forgive the person. But whenever a person say, yes, broer, yay, suck, whatever may happen, you know, should not offend us or affect us at all. Because if you would go to a person dead in a chest, even more so in the ground, already dead for 10 years, and you would go and tell them that their breath stinks, do you think that the bones will care? No. They really won't. So why do we care? Because we are called to be as dead as the bones in the ground, but alive in Christ. Amen? So we should not be heavy laden or burdened, allowing the world to influence what we say or do or feel, but really just place and give all of that to Christ and allow Him to fill that and to be that. Philippians 2, from verse 14, do all things without grumbling or disputing, that you may be blameless and innocent, children of God without blemish in the midst of a crooked and twisted generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world, holding fast to the word of life, so that in the day of Christ I may be proud that I did not run in vain or labor in vain. None of us want to, when we die, say, yes, I labored in vain. I did all these things, but not really attaining to the purpose God has called me. But no, we want to be proud standing for Christ. Lord, I did not labor in vain. I did exactly what you've called me to do. Because God has created this earth. He has created every person in it to be with us, to be intimate with us, to know us. How is that possible? Through Jesus Christ that died on the cross, becoming sin and taking all of our sin, bridging the chasm between us and God, taking the sin upon himself so that we are sinless and blameless to be intimate with God. And when intimate with God, as we are all, as we all have the access to be, we know the will and his purpose, leading us to standing proud one day, saying, Lord, I did not labor in vain. I did not walk in vain. I did not do all these things in vain, God. But with that said, Jesus coming to earth, dying, being resurrected, walking the earth for 40 days, going back, being excited for the outpouring of the what? Of the Holy Spirit. That Jesus said he's excited to send him to us. Because the Holy Spirit can fill every person on earth, causing us to do far greater things than what Jesus did. And that is the answer to how we should walk our lives. Because as Jesus left, he gave us the answer to live a life like Christ, as he did. Because if we had to be mentored by Jesus since the day of our birth until today, so I believe if you walked with Jesus for about 20 years, you know, you would really, you would talk like him, you would sound like him, you would pray like him, you would maybe perhaps even look like him, doing the same fashion thing and all. But you know what is the exactly same thing with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is an extension of who Jesus is, of who God is. And we have been given the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit is with us when? It's with us every single second of every single day, speaking to us when? Every single second of every single day. So why would it be different with Jesus mentoring us in a physical compassion to the Holy Spirit? There is no difference. Only difference is we just look to so many other things except to the Holy Spirit walking alongside us, guiding us, leading us to the mysteries of who God is, to become more like who God is. And what do we call the Holy Spirit? We call him the Holy Spirit. So how do we become intimate with the Holy Spirit? Is by being holy. We can become intimate with God through his sacrifice of his Son. So Jesus is the answer to God. But what is the answer to intimacy with the Holy Spirit? Is being holy. Holiness and unrighteousness does not coincide like light and darkness does not. So the answer lies in, and we are getting closer to what the will of God is. It leads us to knowing and walking side by side with the Holy Spirit, leading us to become holy. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 from verse 1. A life pleasing to God. Finally then, brothers, we ask and urge you in the Lord Jesus that as you receive from us how you ought to walk and to please God, just as you are doing, that you do so more and more, for you know what instructions we gave you through the Lord Jesus. For this is the will of God, your sanctification, that you abstain from sexual immorality, that each of one of you know how to control his own body in holiness and honor, not in the passion of lust like the Gentiles who do not know God, that no one transgress and wrong his brother in this matter, because the Lord is an avenger in all these things. As we told you beforehand and solemnly warned you, for God has not called us for impurity, but holiness. Therefore, whoever disregards this, disregards not man, but God, who gives his Holy Spirit to you. So the question we had earlier, what is God's will for us collectively as a church? The answer is here in 1 Thessalonians. Sanctification. What is the will of God? Sanctification. As God gave us the promise and then delivered on the promise of the Holy Spirit, he caused us to be holy. That's what sanctification is, the process of making holy. That is God's will. Every single day as we walk out here today, that is how we change the two lines on this chart to becoming one, because God is walking, he's walking on the holy path. How do we become one with him? Is by being holy as well. But yes, how can I be holy? Through the Holy Spirit. And only through the Holy Spirit you can be holy. Laying down your thoughts, your hearts, and your desires to truly do that. Yes, we have our plans, our visions, and dreams. And just imagine aiming for it and attaining to it and working towards it, but in the way of holiness and sanctification towards God. Sitting in a boardroom meeting with, you know, all these people shouting all these things to one another, but you're just standing for righteousness and sanctification in the place. Just imagine already the mark and the stamp that you are leaving in the meeting there as people go out. Because they will go out there thinking, like, yes, who's this guy? They will maybe, you know, just make comments on who you are, how you look, or what you're saying. But I promise you, as they depart from there, the Holy Spirit, you know, will so convict them of where they are and what they're busy doing. Just the same as in the lecture hall, the same as in any other business organization we can find ourselves in. Teachers today, if we teach children out of a place of holiness, just imagine the byproduct of it. Children being sent into high school or into universities already understanding the concept of, yes, you know what, above all these things, my teacher taught me that I should be holy. If you can get that right, then you're a really good teacher, as we know children today, but that is the will of God. Plain and simple, sanctification. Because God has created this earth, as said earlier, to be intimate with us. So being intimate with the Holy Spirit means intimacy with Him, meaning that we should become sanctified in who we are as people. So let us not be transformed to the standards and the things that the world expects of us, but let us be renewed in our minds and thoughts to sanctification, to holiness, to purity, in all that we do, in all our conduct, in all that we say, in all that we think, because then we will become like Jesus. Because, you know, Jesus is right next to us every single day, every single second. So let's look to Him and not to other answers, to other avenues. And the holier we get, the clearer we will see Him, the clearer we will hear His voice. Because the holier we are, just with a friend, just with a normal relationship, the more time, not any time spent, but the more the person can trust you, the more the person gives you and reveals to you. The same as God did with Moses and with Abraham, being the only two people God called His friends. Why? Because they were willing to just trust God with their most prized possessions. Moses, you know, his family and everything. Abraham and his son, he waited 24 years for. So if we all truly trust the Holy Spirit with every decision we make in each day, He will trust us more in revealing Himself. And that is the same sequence we've seen across the whole Bible. We can become judgmental. We can ask all these questions, like, Holy Spirit, like, I pray just now, you're not answering me, where are you? There's a reason why sometimes we feel, we are never alone, but why we feel we are alone. Because how many times have we not quenched or turned our backs on the Holy Spirit? Matthew 11, from verse 28. Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, that you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. As we do lay down our lives, as we do turn to Christ, you know what? He takes our burdens. He really makes it easy. Sometimes we think, you know, God, if you are calling me to die for you one day, God, you might think that is like the ultimate standard in a sense, or the ultimate price to pay. Yes, your life is the ultimate price to pay. But it's not the ultimate price to pay after someone shot you in the head. That is a price you need to pay when God calls you here. Because there's no use dying for God in the physical, but you have not lived a life being dead in Christ, if you understand what I'm saying. But living that life as dead in Christ, you know what? It's not supposed to be hard. It's not supposed to be tiresome or burdensome, because Jesus says His yoke is easy, His burden is light. So as we give Him our troubles, He takes it upon Himself. He puts it right back on the cross where He's already paid for it, and it's gone. So we all sit here with time wasted in our lives, but you know what? It's okay. That's okay. Yesterday is gone. Tomorrow is not ours. So we have today. So let's make the choice today, and I believe we all, most of us have done it, but let's just say, Lord, I repent of time wasted. Stop feeling sorry about it or condemned about it, but take this moment, this space and time that you have, that you are sure of, truly give it to God and say, Lord, like this is my time now that I have this time, and if you will grant me breath tomorrow, I give it to you as well. And let's truly align our lives onto the path of sanctification towards God. So let's stop feeling bad about time wasted, because you know you will never see it again. But let's truly give the rest of who we are and what we have and what we have to give to Christ. I just want to ask the band to come to the front. I don't know if they can hear me. Just please call them. So in simple steps today, as the band come to the front, I want you to stand with me today, please, church. We can close our eyes. And we all labor daily. We all need rest. You know, Jesus is the rest. He's the answer. He takes our yokes. He takes our burdens. And it makes it light. So today, if you feel heavy, if you feel that there's this massive burden on your shoulders, and if you are standing here and you've already just zoned in on the beach or the bush, whatever your holiday looks like, whenever it may be, just ask God for us to stop doing that. Just let Him take the tiredness we have right now, because Jesus gives us rest in a moment. Jesus is so powerful, He does not need us to go and sleep now so that we are rest out in a sense. He just restores it. Restores the joy, which is our strength. So firstly, if that is you today, just where you are as the band is playing. If you have zoned in the holidays, or if you feel tired, if you feel like, yes, Lord, what is this burden on my shoulders? Just give it to God in this moment. Let's take a couple of moments and just respond to that if it's applicable to you.
For listening to this message from Shofar Christian Church. We believe that it was time well spent establishing God's kingdom and proclaiming His glory in your life. For more information, call us on 012-362-1363 or email us at pretoria@shofaronline.org. You may also wish to browse our website at www.shofaronline.org or find us on facebook.com/shofarpretoria. You, there is